Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuning in today on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I'm your host, DJ Proof, and you are listening to The Sound of the Underground, where I play rap, rock, and reggae that is relevant to contemporary social, political issues, along with music that also just fills us with good vibes, and I usually save that for the end. But I'm dedicated to providing a show, radio show, that college students and pretty much anybody interested in hearing music that doesn't really get to see the light of day on mainstream radio stations. And I wanted to create a radio station that people can just vibe to and get inspired off of. And this is kind of my motivation for doing it, and the reason why I believe that certain music is kind of a progressive art that helps people think instead of just dumbs everything down and only talks about material lifestyles. And you're listening to The Sound of the Underground on the one and only Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. It's a beautiful Thursday afternoon. The sun's out, and it seems like the rain's gone away for a while, so let's get started. The first portion of my show, I always like to start it off with usually a rap artist or a hip-hop artist, whatever you prefer to call it. But the first artist I want to play for you is a southern hip-hop artist who is not as popular as other mainstream hip-hop artists today, but there's also a reason for that, which I'm going to get into. This man was born as Michael Render, and he was born and raised in Adamsville, Georgia. He was born in 1975 on April 20th, and his rap name is Killer Mike, which is what he's better known as. And Killer Mike is a very lyrical MC, and I think a lot of his lyrics strike the core of some of society's hottest topics. And he doesn't really sell out to the big corporations who kind of take over creative control and impose their own beliefs and ideals onto these artists. He's okay being in that uncomfortable area where, in fact, he actually feels more comfortable being a part of independent music than anything. So that's his motivation, and he's not necessarily recent, but his career began at the turn of the century. And at first, before he left Morehouse College, where he attended for a little bit, he met Big Boy from the hip-hop group Outkast. And Outkast is a huge hip-hop group, probably one of the biggest to this day, actually. And that's thanks to Andre 3000, probably, and definitely Big Boy. But in 2000... K-Mike appeared on Outkast's 4th studio album called Stankonia, and he featured on the song Snappin' Tappin'. And then a year later, he also appeared on the hit single Whole World, which is very popular as well. And that's kind of how he began his career, which is kind of an unusual way to begin it, I think, just because he started off just working with other artists instead of going down the regular path of just pursuing your own solo act or whatever you want to call it. But I think, yeah, excuse me, I'm trying to get some music going in the background. There we go. Alright. And like I was saying, he kind of started off just collabing with different artists, and it wasn't until 2003 when he got signed to Columbia Records, which is actually controlled by Sony Music Entertainment, and he released his first studio album called Monster on it, which peaked top 10 on the Billboard 200 chart, which is huge for a first album. But at the same time, Columbia Records is owned by a corporation that is considered mainstream, and if he was going to continue his career down this path, I don't think he was going to be very successful with his own creative control. So later on, it was kind of a growing period for him, because he was just trying to establish himself in the rap game and try to find his identity with the whole thing, what he really wanted to talk about, so to say. And he became a lot more socially conscious with his lyrics later on. And once he ended his contract with Columbia, he actually signed with rapper T.I.'s label, who was also a southern rapper. but he signed to Grand Hustle around 2009. But he went completely independent after joining the Southern record label called William Street only a couple years ago. And under them, he released his sixth studio album called Rap Music, R.A.P. Music, which is also a really popular album. But the first song I want to play today is actually a collaboration with Killer Mike and rappers Chuck D, Brother Ali. And this is actually off of Immortal Technique's free album called The Martyr, which was released in 2011, I think. But I chose this song because Killer Mike is not so well known for his, I'm going to say his own solo career, his own solo acts. Although he did have hit singles, I think, personally to me, he just sounds a lot better when he is rapping alongside other great rappers. So, and also I think it makes the message a lot more powerful when you can hear the perspective of different rappers talking about the same subject. And this subject that this song talks about is actually a very relevant song to the times that we live in, and especially in the U.S. here, because the song is called Civil War. And well, at the beginning of the song, there's an intro that features one of Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches, and I think this song is really, really important because, like I said, underground music is the kind of music that says the things that don't get said on mainstream. So it talks about the stuff that sometimes we don't even tend to think about that much or really give too much attention to. I mean, some people do. Some people spend their lives like these revolutionaries, and their lives just revolve around, you know, constant change, creating change in this kind of stagnant system that we live in. And it's hard to create change in this country. And unfortunately, I'm going to talk about an article later on that describes civil unrest, but, you know, a lot of people my age and who aren't really into Immortal Technique or Killer Mike or, you know, underground hip-hop artists that are, I could even say they're pretty hardcore with their lyrics and messages, sometimes overboard in a way, but at the same time, they're just doing what they love, and it's really respectable to see someone speak out so blatantly and bluntly about objects that a lot of people would just shut their mouth about if they even got like 1 ounce of criticism about it from the government or corporate media. So I kind of wanted to just get into it right now. Like I said, this song is it's unique because it has a speech right before it starts, and it kind of, it's a perfect intro for the song, but I'm just going to let it play. I hope you guys enjoy this, and be sure to listen to Killer Mike's verse. He comes in at verse 2, and I'll go over his lyrics after, but as for now, you're listening to Penguin Radio, and the song is called Civil War, off of Immortal Technique's The Martyr album, featuring Killer Mike, Brother Ali, and Chuck D. Enjoy.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
You know what? Fuck Dirty Hell. Immortal Technique. We got guns too. Killer Mike. Fuck Terminator, nigga. Brother Ali. Fuck Rambo. No. Fuck. Yeah. Yeah. The ghetto is like a prison with invisible bars. No matter where you at, it always follows you where you are. And it's hard out there for a pimp to get out of, but it's harder for the hooker that he beat the shit out of. I got niggas underground in the Confederate States, ironically running from slavery that prison creates. So I never hate on the South, I respect their vision. I just hate on that promote Samboism and white execs that love to see us in that position. They reflect the stereotypes of America's vision. They want us dancing, cooning and hollering. Only respect us for playing sports and modeling. More than racism, it's stay in your placism. All people are trapped in practical black fascism. A civil war between the North and the South. It's between fields. And slaves that are stuck in the house. Civil war for the soul of a nation. This is a struggle to save civilization. Demonstrations overthrowing the occupation. The annihilation of mental colonization. Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the future of our civilization. Destroy the corrupt government organizations. Trying to survive cultural assassination. Crip niggas, blood niggas, essays, Asians. Why the fuck with each other's population? The devil wanna dead all our population. People in folk nation, why the separation? Why we got Jamaicans hating on Haitians? When the British and French rape both nations, Mexicans and blacks kill each other straight hating, while the government profits from prison population. If you on the bottom, be you Anglo or Asian, you gotta recognize the realness in what I'm saying. You gotta recognize another G ain't the enemy. When the police ride and kill us frequently, we gotta make the youth see where the truth be. If you achieve, then grow and develop GD. 50 years of gains and our people still poor. If we really run the streets, we should really end war. Civil war for the soul of a nation. This is a struggle to save civilization. Demonstrations overthrowing the occupation. The annihilation of mental colonization. Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the future of our civilization. Destroy the corrupt government organizations. Trying to survive cultural assassination.
Listen, our hearts were torn apart just like y'all was. Watching towers full of souls fall to sawdust. Every time we called your office, you ignored us. Now you're holding hearings on us all inside of Congress. Microscopes on us, asking which your hardest. My answer was in line with all of the founding fathers. I think Patrick said it best, give me liberty or death. I shall never accept anything less. You claim innocence, you play victimless, but you gave the kiss of death in the name of self-defense. Slavery and theft of other nations to the end of pacifying your citizenry with excess. We believe in freedom, justice, security, but they're only pure when they're applied universally. So certainly if I rage against the machine, my aim was only to clean the germs out of the circuitry. Urgently putting fear inside your heart, make you burn Qurans and tell me not to build a mosque. Me, my wife and babies, we ain't never made you hard. We just wanna touch our head to the floor and talk to God. Ask him to remove every blemish from our heart. The greatest threat of harm doesn't come from any bomb. The moment you refuse the human rights for just a few, what happens when that view includes you? Civil war.
And we're back. You just heard the song Civil War off of Mortal Technique's album The Martyr featuring Killer Mike, who is the artist I am featuring today, and he came in on the second verse. Also featured Brother Ali in the third verse. So, just to kind of talk a little bit more about the song, which I think is incredibly necessary in these times. So, I'm looking at the lyrics right now, and this is Killer Mike's right here. Well, first off, it just kind of talks about how there's a lot of separation in this country, and it's not only just between the poor and the rich or people with different skin color. It has been going on for the past couple centuries, and really there's a huge separation in the actual poor and usually African-American communities, but also other minority communities around this country. there's separation between those people in there, and that's due to gang violence and the fact that drugs are so, it's a good word for this, it's very available in the streets because that's where it sells, and that's where people are usually desperate enough because of the situations that they live in to actually sell this. And it just, it creates a cycle. It's a terrible cycle where drugs pretty much run the streets and gangs control it, and then the real people on top are the ones who are supplying the drugs, and a lot of it is connected to the government, unfortunately, and that's a big problem. But going back to the lyrics, I think a great line in Killer Mike's is, it says, "We gotta make the UC where the truth be. If you a G, then grow and develop GD. 50 years of gangs and our people still poor. If we really run the streets, we should really end war." And he says, if we really run the streets, so clearly he's talking about the gangs in the streets. And I mean, these are real people. They're not just savages. And they were just born into a community, an environment where gang violence was prevalent. And gangs kind of started from, at least the Bloods and the Crips in LA, they started from the Black Panther movement, and it kind of branched out and became a very separate, violent type of system, and it totally lost all disregard for the vision of the Black Panthers. So, and there's also just gangs that all around the country that just sprung up just to make money. It's a way of making money and having control in the streets. So, and usually it's corrupted by fear and violence. So, you know, it's a very kind of sad reality that we have to face. And the fact that this country is getting more and more separated, even in the communities that are supposed to be together, it's really sad to see. And the hook goes, the hook is by Chuck D. He says, "Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the future of our civilization. Destroy the corrupt government organizations trying to survive cultural assassination." And this also ties in with kind of like the mental slavery that a lot of artists talk about as well, and a lot of people don't even realize. It's kind of like the dumbing down of a nation, and it's because we're not, a lot of Americans and especially the youth and people in schools that don't really have the resources or type of curriculum that actually teaches the truths about history of this country and why everything is so separated. Even our political system is separated. That's just a given usually in politics, but it's kind of ridiculous how there are two parties and we can't really get along at all. Even though it was founded by people who thought it was going to work, and yet here we are on the verge of possibly another civil war. And it's definitely more of a class issue now, and I think a lot, at least from what I've seen, a lot of people are worried about a police state or something like that, where the National Guard will actually be, you know, starting war with the citizens of this country. And it's really scary to think about, you know, is the military and the government with us, or are they against us? And if we really want change, and if we really don't want to use violence, then what do we do if they use violence first, or whatever really happens? So there's a lot of questions surrounding this issue. And to finish this portion off, I just want to end with Brother Ali's last line. He says, the greatest threat of harm doesn't come from any bomb. The moment you refuse the human rights for just a few, what happens when that view includes you? Civil war. So he brings in the issue of human rights into this subject, and that's very important because African Americans especially, but all minorities in this country, are treated like they are not American. And to be American means you have the right to own land, you have the right to the pursuit of happiness, you have all these rights, right? And pretty much it's always been set up to privilege the white community, and people know that and are waking up to that fact, because nothing's really changing. Just because we had a civil rights movement doesn't mean it's completely all fine now. And racism is so ingrained into this culture that it's kind of numb to a lot of people's perceptions, unfortunately, and we can't see past that illusion. And that's the point of underground music, especially this kind of music that just hits the core of the issue sometimes. And like a song like Civil War, where it opens people's eyes to the tragedies of the world and what this country and government is doing to other people in other countries around the world. You know, we're not just a democratic country that goes around helping people. We are the, in a way, a police state of the world because of the power that we have. And, you know, with that, I just think people need to wake up, and that's kind of the theme of this show today, is the civil unrest in this country. So anyways, I kind of got carried away there, and I don't have time to talk about everything I want to talk about, but I can still kind of continue it in the second portion of my show, which happens to be coming up very soon. But I just wanted to talk about Killer Mike, just a little bit about Killer Mike, since I got carried away a little bit. But Killer Mike is an average guy. I mean, he might have grown up in the southern streets of Atlanta and around Atlanta, Georgia, but he also is pursuing his lifelong dream of owning and running barbershops in particularly black communities all over the country. And his goal is to get around 150, but besides doing free shows and sponsoring events that are more socially aware and doing shows for them, he also, you know, he's married, and he is promoting a kind of a community in African American communities that kind of, well, it just helps support the poor people of the community and gives them a chance to have a job. And that's his main motivation. And also he, at least the one shop that he has open now, is it has art and murals of African-American leaders like MLK. And it's all meant to just, you know, teach the truth and help other people out that are in distress and don't really have the resources. So if you want to learn more about Killer Mike, be sure to look him up. I think his later stuff is a lot better than his older stuff, personally. But, yeah, so moving on to the second portion of my show, I have a pretty interesting band. I didn't actually get into this rock group, who actually is also a southern band. I actually got into these guys probably a couple years ago, but they've been around, and they've been around since around 95, so, and I can't believe I haven't gotten into these guys, because they're pretty unique, and I'm surprised I just never really heard them before. And the band I'm talking about is, they're known as Government Mule, or just The Mule. They're an improvisational jam band, specifically. They have played with the Allman Brothers Band, and two of the band members who actually formed Government Mule, they came from the Allman Brother Band. And the two band members were Alan Woody, who was a bassist, and he's from Nashville, Tennessee. And then Warren Haynes is currently the guitarist and vocalist for Government Mule. And so they basically started the band, and once Matt Apps from the band Dickie Best joined the band as a drummer, they released their first studio album and their self-entitled debut album that was produced by Michael Barbiero, who is actually very famous for producing music. And he produced music for bands such as like the Guns N' Roses, all the way to Ziggy Marley, so he's been all over the place. And currently in the background, this is a Government Mule song. It's just an instrumental called Birth of the Mule, just to give you a little taste of their early development. And over the course of their career, they released 10 studio albums since 95, but only 3 studio albums before bassist Alan Woody died in early 2000 from causes unknown, really. But ever since Woody's death, frontman Warren Haynes has been splitting his time between bands like the Allman Brothers Band, where he came from, and then like Phil Lesh and friends as well. But after Andy Hess took over Alan Woody's spot as on bass for a while, and for a while they even toured and made albums with a lot of Woody's most admired bass players, a couple being Les Claypool from Primus and Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then Stephen Lessard from Dave Matthews Band, and George Porter Jr. of The Meters. The fact that they did this for Woody's passing is really amazing, and they also held a live show that kind of raised money to support his daughter and family. So they're a great group of guys, and they're not necessarily the most well-known at all. They're not the most well-known funk rock, hard rock, blues rock, whatever you want to call them. They're all over the place, and they have evolved throughout the years, of course. But obviously, I want to take it back to their first album, because the song that I want to play from their first album is pretty much perfect for, you know, the first song. If you've never heard these guys, I think it's a great first song to listen to. So yeah, I just love the guitar in the background here, and that's Haynes doing that. So I wanted to choose this song because it started with the power trio, with Haynes, Apps, and Woody together, and I am choosing the song Mule, which is strictly just called Mule, off their debut album from 95. So I'm going to talk about the lyrics after. I can't really explain it without you guys hearing the lyrics first, so without further ado, the band is called Government Mule, and the song is called Mule, and this is off their debut album, self-entitled. You're listening to Penguin Radio, and I hope you enjoy. Place in life.
is too much bother. Yeah, the way the man tried to beat you down make you wanna kill your brother. So go on and bust me. We'll send my miss son John. So far.
Back. You're listening to the one and only Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I hope everyone is having an enjoyable day. I know I am because this is toward the end of the week for me, and I usually only have one more class on Fridays. So, which is also shout out to the Penguin Press Pass, which is what the DJs part of the radio class here at Dominican. Under the communications program, we come together as a class, and all the DJs come together, and we provide a weekly show that talks about news about the world or national news, and of course Dominican news. And shout out to that, because tomorrow we have one coming up, and I think it's going to be a great one. We're really starting to get the hang of it, and I really appreciate this program and the freedom that we have to kind of learn everything about what it takes to make a radio show happen. And we're taught to be the producers, the engineers, you know, that of course the hosts and the DJs, but we pretty much are in charge of everything here. And it took a while for me, and I'm sure it took a while for a lot of the DJs in my class as well, to kind of get used to this, getting used to just talking on air and knowing that other people are listening. It's kind of a little bit daunting sometimes and makes me nervous, but it also motivates me to, you know, speak out about relevant stuff instead of just blurting out whatever I feel like, you know. So I appreciate all the listeners, and I don't know who's listening right now, but hi, Mom and Dad, if you are, and anyone else who I've told about the show, and definitely I think Stu is listening for sure, who's the professor who teaches the radio show here, Stuart Horn and Leona George Davidson, our great team, and they're dedicated to helping us DJs perfect our art and helping us to learn everything we need to learn about radio or production, engineering, whatever, so that we can be ready for the real world once we graduate. So shout out to you guys, and shout out to the communications program here at Dominican. It's really blessed to be here today, and just wanted to give a shout out. So you just heard a Government Mule song off their self-entitled album, which was released in 95, and the song was called Mule. And I chose this song because I think it's a good representation of what this band started off to be. And obviously you could hear the southern roots, the southern rock roots that they carry in their music. And since that was their first album, it was pretty heavy with that kind of sound. And but at the same time, it wasn't just like a southern country song. It was, you know, it was hard rock, and the message there was actually really awesome. Because, well, just to talk about the lyrics first, the hook on the song, or the chorus, it goes, "Where's my mule? Where's my 40 acres? Where's my dream, Mr. Emancipator? Live this way, might as well meet my maker. Where's my mule? Where's my mule?" And this is, it's funny how their songs just tie together with the name of their band and all that. But before I talk about the origins of their name, which is actually pretty amazing to the relevance of the song, I kind of want to talk about the band in general first. They're a classic kind of underground rock band, to say the least, because they are definitely not mainstream. And even though I think they are probably one of the most unique sounding southern bands I've ever encountered, you know, I don't think they don't get the credit that they deserve. And the Allman Brother Band is an amazing band as well. These jam bands are amazing. They just play whatever they can and whatever they know. Especially at live concerts, it's amazing to see. And I think I actually saw a couple members of the Allman Brothers Band right here in San Rafael. This one time I went to the Terrapin Crossing restaurant, which is owned by, I think, some Grateful Dead musician. I'm not sure exactly who, but one of my family friends took me and my dad to a show there. They have a stage right next to the restaurant. And I swear, I can't remember for the life of me who was playing, because it was kind of hard to see. But my family friend said, I think one of the guitarists or bassists was actually part of the Allman Brothers Band at one point, or is still a part of that. So I really wish I figured out who that was. But anyways, their playing style is amazing, and these musicians are amazing in general. I think this is the kind of rock music that has ties to the, you know, classical sound, as well as just a modern sound of rock too, and I think that makes it unique. But going to talk about their current career in music, they just released their latest album, Shout, in 2013 after a four-year hiatus, and they actually, I don't know if I mentioned this, but Andy Hess was replaced by Jorgen Carlson in 2008, and Andy Hess was Woody's replacement in the beginning, so now they have a new bassist, and he's great too, but, you know, bands change over the years, and you're never going to get that unique sound from the start of their career, but you can still appreciate the evolution of their music. And the song playing in the background, I'm just going to turn it up so you can hear it. This is called Reblow Your Mind, and this is off of their Mighty High album, which is actually a reggae dub collab. And it's amazing. I can't believe that a southern rock group like this would actually get into reggae. And they actually dedicated an album to it, so if you could hear that, I think it's pretty amazing. That's just an instrumental as well, but, you know, I think music like this is very unique, and that's why I love it. So to talk about the origin of Government Mule's name and how it ties into the song Mule, which you just heard, I think, well, at least information that I got, Government Mule was the name taken from a Civil War era. It was during the Civil War era in the U.S. And during the Civil War, the U.S. government told African Americans if they signed up to fight that they would receive 40 acres and a mule when they returned. And like the chorus said, "Where's my mule? Where's my 40 acres?" These guys are white. These band members. Government Mule is a white band, but the fact that they were able to make this a song about, you know, about the Civil War and putting themselves in the shoes of African Americans in that song. It's not just about African Americans either. I think it definitely was back then, but now it's more about everybody, you know, everybody in this country who are not a part of the elite political groups or people with a lot of money who can control the wealth and the power of this country. And a lot of people are left in the dark, left to be completely asleep and not awake to reality at all. And the fact that this band was able to, you know, create music that revolved around issues like this at such an early point in their career is amazing to me. So if you liked what you heard of Government Mule, I think most people would, but if you started off as a rock fan or even like a blues fan, anything with, you know, real instruments, it doesn't matter what you're into. If you like them, be sure to check them out, because they are still going pretty strong, especially after their latest release, their Shout album. And they have multiple live albums as well, which are great, because like I said, they're the kind of jam band that always sounds great, and they can play pretty much anything. So I think it's a good time to talk about an article, since the last song that I'm going to be playing is, and I don't have too much time, I have to prepare for a phone interview for a job that I might get in the summer, and it's really important that I prepare for that, so I might end the show a little bit early. But before I get into the third portion of my show, I really wanted to talk about an article that's going around on the internet, and this has been on different websites, but this is by Martin Armstrong, who is an economist here in the U.S., and this article says that all governments had better open their eyes, for we are on the brink of a major convergence between both the cycle of civil unrest, civil war, and revolution and international war. Both of these models converge, and as I pointed out as the cycles of war conference, this is the first time we have seen the convergence since the 1700s. And they believe that the modern civil unrest erupting today is because of an interconnected world. And to kind of give my opinion about that, I definitely agree with that. There are a lot of issues and problems that haven't been properly settled in this country, especially in this country, dealing with racism, dealing with prejudices and ignorance about history and all this. And the fact that it's so interconnected now and kids have access to, you know, talking to people all over the world, what truth is really being said, you know? And sometimes it's hard to get the truth out when the internet is also controlled and censored. I think a lot of confusion comes from the internet, and you just have to know what to look for. But at the same time, these kids and a lot of young youth and even adults these days, I mean, there's just so much confusion going around. And, you know, the main problem that the economist Armstrong is trying to say here is that the national debt, on average, is composed of 70% interest payments, and not to programs that help poor, the poor as what was originally marketed. Obviously, communism is dead in this country, and capitalism has taken full effect and has definitely demonstrated its power over the years. But it says here that the debt that keeps growing with no intent upon paying anyone back and draining the national productivity and turning the people into economic slaves is what's going on right now. And pretty much what this article is saying is that, or at least what Armstrong is predicting, is that all governments are now the targets. And when the economy, he thinks the economy is going to basically spike down around late 2015. And he says the thread of civilization will be pulled apart by the self-interest of politicians clinging to power to the detriment of the people. And I don't think his words are false. I think it's not necessarily completely true. You know, not all politicians are corrupt. Not all world leaders are corrupt, but there are so many that are, and those that control so much of, you know, the world's wealth, you know, and don't use that responsibility to the advantage of the rest of the population. It's more really self-interested. So the fact that we're pretty much on the verge of another economic collapse, and the fact that there's so much civil unrest in the communities and separation in this country today, it seems like it's bound to happen. And unfortunately, when I say it's bound to happen, I don't necessarily know if there's going to be another civil war, but something big is going to happen, and revolution needs to kind of take over. Hopefully a nonviolent revolution can take over before anything bad gets, before anything too bad actually happens. And I don't know how much time, you know, we have before anything huge happens in this country. There's so much that's, you know, unpredictable, such as, like, you know, 9/11 was pretty unpredictable and we couldn't do much about that. And all these shootings that are going on in this country, it's, you know, you can't really stop that without more violence. And that's the kind of thinking that we're taught, I think. And, you know, we need a nonviolent revolution in this country, kind of similar to the civil rights movement led by Dr. King, because it is effective, and Gandhi is a great advocate for nonviolence as well. So that was kind of my spiel on the civil unrest and the kind of possibility of a civil war. And like economist Armstrong said, he hasn't seen this kind of convergence since the 1700s, where civil war and international war are connected. So what we're really looking at here is global unrest, not just civil unrest in the country. It's global unrest. And obviously there's been global unrest for years. So, you know, what is the answer? And how can we really find peace in this country? And that's kind of what I want to leave it with before I start my last song and third portion of my show. Yeah, so I'm just going to get into the third portion. I'm running out of time here. So I want to talk about a reggae artist who has been around for a while, and we're the first non-Jamaican act to win a Grammy for Best Reggae Album. And even though they have roots that connect them to the Caribbean and African roots, the band Steel Pulse originated in Birmingham, England, which is ironically connected to Birmingham, Alabama, which is kind of the theme that I'm, you know, building here. But they originally formed by band members David Hines, who is lead vocal and guitarist, and Basil Gabadon, not sure how to pronounce his last name, but he's lead guitar and vocals, and bassist Ronald McQueen. These three guys, their trio was pretty successful at first. These guys met at the Handsworth Wood Boys School, and they started the group in 1975, but 3 years later, in 78, they actually became closely associated with the punk movement in England because they were featured in a music festival held by the organization called Rock Against Racism, and they were able to play with they were able to play with bands like The Police, which are a huge England band, The Clash, of course, huge punk band, XTC, and even The Stranglers, kind of less known, but definitely up there in the punk movement. And so after kind of getting exposed to the public, they picked up keyboardist Selwyn Bumbo Brown, drummer Steve Grizzly Nisbet, and percussionist and vocalist Alfonso Martin, and then vocalist Michael Riley joined, and that kind of formed the band that it's not necessarily the same till this day. Actually, I think only a couple guys, including David Hines, are actually still a part of it, and that's till this day. I mean, they've been around since 75, so they're getting up there in age. But anyways, these guys are dedicated to serving communities, and especially communities that are similar to the ones they come from, where the people are kind of oppressed economically or culturally. And I didn't necessarily want to play one of their more socially conscious songs, because I kind of want to let one of their, you know, good vibing songs just kind of ring out to end the show. And I don't have too much time to talk. I have to leave in a couple minutes, or after the song, basically. So without further ado, I'm just going to play it. The song is called Your House, and it's a pretty well-known song by Steel Pulse, but I just think it's a great sounding song, and it's about love, so I thought it would be a good song to end with. So, without further ado, Steel Pulse, and the song is called Your House. Enjoy.
Like far away.
And we're back on the one and only Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. You just heard Steel Pulse's song, Your House. And that was off their, I believe their 84 album, True Democracy. And it's a great song. I think they're one of the bands who can write both. They can write songs that are relevant to social issues, but they also, you know, all reggae bands, I think, have that kind of, I don't know, natural vibe to it that is really unique, and they can write love songs, they can write songs that, you know, make you feel good, and as well wake you up with the lyrics. So I really wish I could talk a little bit more about Steel Pulse and their legacy. Only two members still exist with the band today, and that's luckily lead vocalist is Hines, and Brown are still a part of it. So, you know, that kind of ends my show for the day. I'm out of time, but be sure to look Steel Pulse up. They have a lot of records out. I believe they have 11 studio albums and a whole bunch of compilation and singles. So be sure to look for them. Like I said, they're the only non-Jamaican act to win Grammy Award for Best Reggae Album. And that's for good reason. They make great sound. So that concludes my show for the day, folks. I hope you guys have an enjoyable rest of the Thursday evening and a great weekend as well. You just heard the sound of the underground. I'm your host, DJ Proof. I just brought you the truth from the booth, and you just heard the artists, Killer Mike, the first artist, Killer Mike, second artist, Government Mule, and the third, Steel Pulse. I hope you guys enjoyed that. DJ Proof signing off on the one and only Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Have a great weekend.
You're breaking my heart, you're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Cecilia, well, I'm down on my knees. Well, I'm begging you please to come on. Come on now. Cecilia, well, you're breaking my heart, you're shaking my confidence daily. Oh, Cecilia, well, I'm down on my knees. Well, I'm begging you.